a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Nice to have you with us here. 80 degrees downtown. It was really a beautiful morning to ride the bike in. Motorcycle, that is.
I wouldn't know.
You didn't do it this morning.
No, I didn't.
There are a lot of clouds out there, and so it looks like there's a threat of some showers, maybe early. We'll see what happens the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Going to be hot, though, for the next several days.
It never cooled down. I mean, I was up all night, and it was still in the 80s.
Yeah, those clouds helped to hold the heat, too.
Yeah.
We mentioned a couple of days ago we had a chance to connect with Navidovskis. He and his wife, along with 14 others from around the world, are on this amazing bicycle trip, and his description of it is great. We caught up with him, actually, on the English Channel on a ferry that was just getting ready to head out, and so we apologize, especially in our final a couple of segments that we had, some rough communication. He didn't take a sat phone.
Well,
do you know anybody that could have given him a sat phone to
do
the phone call?
But you know what? People call me and say, hey, I need a sat phone for Europe. I said, why?
Yeah, you got cell service everywhere you go.
Service. Yeah. Well, except the English Channel.
It turns out, listen to this.
Well, on last week's show, I was on the road in Orlando, Florida, and in my absence, the guys took a call from a member of the Navidovskis family, that being Mickey Navidovskis, who I think has decided he's just going to take over the mortgage on the house because Mom and Dad went to Europe, and it's a clear sign they're not coming back. So he and Brother Finn decided they were going to make a backpacking trip to Yellowstone in the absence of Mom and Dad. So really, the question is, where is Navi? Right at this moment, he's on a boat, I think, getting ready to cross the English Channel, right?
Yeah, I'm actually in the English Channel. We have left France. France is about, I don't know, 40 miles away in our backside. We're headed to England. I'm in the middle of the English Channel.
That is amazing. And still have a cell signal. We're battling through this as quickly as we can before we lose you. And I don't know, maybe you'll have cell service all the way across. But you said that crossing's about 4 hours, huh?
Yeah, 4 hours. We have our group is on board here. We're going to eat dinner at 8 o'clock. It's 6:30 France time. So yeah, I got a cell service. So let's just chat.
Yeah, before we go too far into where you're at and what's coming for the rest of your trip, let's back up and tell everybody you checked in with us from Ireland, where you were doing some golfing, you and a buddy, and then Predator went with you, and then Gail came over late in that trip and enjoyed some days with you there. From there, you went to Florence, you went to Amsterdam and then Florence. But for the purpose of our conversation today, the idea of being able to jump on a bike and ride from Paris, France to London, England, really caught your attention.
Yes, it did. I was kind of intrigued by that. Actually, my buddy F.A. proposed it, and Gail and I got aboard, and it's been incredible. It's exceeded all my expectations. It's just been phenomenal.
So this is a planned tour, right? There's a group that actually organizes this whole thing.
Yeah, it's a group. We have a guide. I'm going to have you on the air with her in a while here if I have service, but her name is Antonella, and we picked everybody up in Paris. And then on Sunday morning, which interestingly is a no car day in Paris.
Yeah.
So we rode through the streets of Paris, no cars allowed, saw all the sights on a bike. By the way, it's the way to see France on a bike. I'm absolutely serious about this.
You know what?
And then we busted out of town.
Becky and I, as you know, have made 4 or 5 trips now to Paris, and we tell everybody, rent a bike and see it that way. Because if you ride right along the Seine River without even getting out into the other parts of town, you're going to see almost all of the sights that you want to see on that one ride.
Absolutely. And it's just beautiful. You know how the streets turn, and it's so bike-friendly. It's just the way to do it.
Yeah, so anyway, you got a rare treat on a no-car day in Paris.
Absolutely. And then by afternoon, we rolled outside of Paris. We finally got to the outskirts. And this trail is crazy. I mean, it even goes to a single track at some point. I mean, these bikes that we're on are pretty hefty. I wouldn't say they're mountain bikes, but they're pretty stout. And the tires are thin, so they go pretty quick. And we really went through the dirt, through the trails, through the forests, along the rivers, and then we busted into a hotel, I don't know, some little French village. Tim, you roll into these villages, and they are so amazing because, you know, they're built right on the road, and the road is, I don't know, 6 feet wide, and they have these beautiful shutters, and they just keep turning, and it's the most gorgeous. You have to see these. They're like 17th century villages, and they're all just beautiful, and they're cobblestone, so you need kind of a hefty, you know, bike, but you just bust around, and then you come into in the center of the city, and they have all the market, you know, all the vegetables, all the fruits. They sell dresses and everything you can imagine. It's just lovely. It's the epitome of cute. I mean, I fall in love with these villages, and by the way, I don't even know where we are, but I do know this. If you go to Europe, you know, you're gonna see the cities. That's what people see. But the cities were all bombed during World War II. But not the country. The country is glorious, and it's still the way it was. I mean, we're passing 10th century, 12th century, 13th century buildings. We're passing castles. It's just epic. And we follow these rivers, and it's so forested and shady. And the trails, the bike trails are maybe, you know, like the legacy, just like that legacy trail in Utah, maybe a foot wider.
Yeah.
And there's nobody on them, and you're just cruising along. It's just glorious. It's one of the best things I have ever done. And then first thing you know, we're in another village, and we spend the night, and we have fun. We eat the food. And I don't even know where we are on the map. I finally got a map out and followed where we were. Now, yesterday's ride was rough. I'm talking about we had some climbing. You know, we really had to get up some hills, and turns out we were climbing the hills, and then we descended today into Normandy to the beach. We went all the way from the top of the mountains. I wouldn't call them mountains, but we rode all downhill today, and it was epic. And we got to this little village here on the coast called Dieppe, and we ate mussels and crepes. And the people are so wonderful. You're driving down these trails, and they're lined with wild raspberries and mulberries and huckleberries. And the fields are full of wheat and linen. All the linen bushes are beautiful. And the way they have the patchwork of all these, like, village farms, I mean, they're just so glorious. And on the hill, these castles. And then the people are so nice. They're like, you know, bonjour, 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 bonjour. It's just so nice. And then we have these great meals. And the people we're with is just fun. I'm going to meet you in the second segment. I'm going to get a bunch of my buddies. I got one from the Montenegro, from Norway, from Italy, from Austria. I mean, they're just fun people. It's just been the most fun trip I can ever remember taking. It's just awesome.
Yeah, and I've enjoyed some of the pictures. And, of course, one of my favorite things when I'm in Europe is to always look for the churches, which will mark the center of any town or village. That's the way it used to be.
Yep.
And you mentioned that, you know, the bigger cities that were bombed out all had to be rebuilt, obviously, but these areas that weren't targets by the Nazis, of course, were left in some cases untouched. And so you really get a feel of what that living there would be all about. So as far as Americans go, it's just you, Gail, Jeff, and Donna then?
Yep, we're the only Americans in the group, and of course, Americans are goofy and loud, and you know, we don't know the rules, and that makes us funny. And yeah, we're all about our leader. Her name is Antonella. She wears the yellow jersey, as we say. She's always in the lead, and she thinks we're crazy, and she loves us. And our group is just having so much fun. There's so much camaraderie, and you know, even though we don't speak the same language, everybody understands everybody's personalities, and we just get along great, and we can give each other grief, and it's just so much fun. And yeah, every day we designate a sweeper, which is the guy who, the first day that was me in Paris. It was kind of rough keeping everybody on the same trail because of all the people. You know, there's still a lot of people walking. But every day we got a new sweeper, and then she's in the lead, and you can ride up front or you can ride in the back. And we're mostly single file until we get to the country. When we get to the villages, we go single file. And then we back in the country, you know, we're two across. We have these great conversations, and I'm learning all kinds of language words I didn't know. And look, at people are people. They're exactly the same as everywhere. And you know, she goes, you like all the people. And I go, you know what? All the people make this way more fun. And she goes, me too. I'm a people person. And it's just, I mean, we have four Italians. Well, there's 16. I call our group the Sweet 16. And they, of course, like that name. And you know me, on the card, on the hand, on the trip. I'm a downhill specialist with my big belly, you know. But I got this.
It's called gravity.
Yeah, exactly. I'm gravity friendly. But yeah, in the next week, I'm going to bring some of these guys on, and they speak some English, and it's going to be a lot of fun to listen to them. But you know, I'm just with Gail. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so beautiful. You could, you know, Tim, you would hate it here because you would just go through. You shoot so many pictures because it's so beautiful. There's nothing as pretty as the French countryside. And yeah, Gail and I are full. This is our second time in the French countryside. It is the most beautiful place in the world. It's rolled. It's just small rolling hills. And there, by the way, there's no roads, just a biking trail.
Yeah.
So you can't even see these places unless you cycle.
Look, I've got so many questions I want to ask you. Maybe we hold you for three segments if we can, but about the riding ability of everybody. Is everybody kind of on the same level so that you can stay together even through the tougher areas?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, we have e-bikes. I don't. But about half, maybe half the group has e-bikes.
Ah.
Like Donna and Jeff are riding e-bikes, but so are some of the wives of some of the, you know, we go up these hills and I'm grunting and I'm snorting and I'm swearing under my breath. And then they come by me on an e-bike and they're singing some melody.
For those who don't know what an e-bike is, you can pedal it if you want to, but it also is powered. So you get into those tough situations, you just engage that gear and go.
You know, today I got on Jeff's e-bike just to try it out, and he goes, there's first gear, second gear, third gear. But you just push them, and they accelerate. I mean, they accelerate quick enough that your head jolts back.
Yeah.
It's almost like a motorcycle.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive.
All right, look, we got to take a break, so hang on. We'll continue our conversation with Navidovskis on, I would say, a trip of a lifetime, but he's made lots of trips in his lifetime. But it does sound like one that would be on the bucket list. I know Becky is kicking me. Because you're there and we are not, and we love to ride bikes and we love France, but schedules just didn't work out this time. Hang on, sir. We'll take a quick break and we'll come back with more from Navi right now, crossing the English Channel on the adventure of a lifetime. Fish fry. In the next hour, we'll get back with Navidovskis. One of the, of course, they had to as they were leaving Paris to get over to the English Channel and then on to London. They went through Normandy, and he being a high school U.S. History teacher, what a treat for him, although it sounds like they didn't get a lot of time to explore that area. But you'll hear that part of the conversation and meet some of the other people that are on this adventure with him in the final half hour of the program. But let's talk fish bites here for a couple of minutes, guys, Tim and Russ and Matt. First of all, I want to direct people to our Facebook page. There's some great pictures on there. Strawberry Bay Marina and Lodge, Paul and the gang posted a picture of I guess his name is Travis, no last name identifier here, but he caught a cutthroat, 23 and a half inches, 6 pounds worth. There's a great shot of that fish. And then you must see the state spearfishing record for a tiger muskie caught June 13th, 51 inches long, 21-inch girth, and it weighed 32 pounds.
That's an amazing fish.
It is an amazing fish. Always remember, you can go to the Division of Wildlife Resources website, which is wildlife.utah.gov. Click on the fishing portal, and it's newly designed. And if you look at the DWR forecast, there are reports not just from the DWR, but places where fishermen themselves have chimed in on their experiences, and it'll give you some great leads on where and what tactics you need to use to have a successful day on the water at our various bodies of water. There was a story about what they're going through down at Lake Powell that I wanted to pass along. Here it is. Right. By the numbers, we talk about the dangers of the spread of quagga mussels these days. And you can talk till you're blue in the face, but this should scare the bejeebers out of anybody that takes their boat out and enjoys fishing and recreating on waters in Utah. Because the fear is that with the known quagga mussel infestation at Powell, if you don't go through the proper drying and decontamination process that the division, the state, is really trying to do everything they can to help you, we're going to have this problem statewide.
You're just going to carry that from one lake to another if you don't take care of it.
But listen to this by the numbers. A total of 210 boats were decontaminated at stations in the Lake Powell area and Kanab area from Saturday to Sunday. This is dated the 8th. So this would have been the 4th of July weekend that we're talking about. During those decontaminations of 210 boats, mussels were discovered on 157 of them. Giving a stark reminder of why boaters must have their boats decontaminated when leaving Lake Powell. 17 people received citations for either not stopping for inspections or for transporting their boat with the plug still in. You know, it was always a habit when I was a boater. Pull the plug right there on the...
Why would you not pull the plug?
I don't know. Just forgot, probably.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of people that forget to put the plug in.
Well, those people, you see them right off the...
They put the boat in the water and figure out in a big hurry, and then have to pull it back out on the trailer to put the plug in. Anyway, with those numbers, 210 boats decontaminated, 157 of them had quagga that could have been transported elsewhere, and just crazy stuff. 17 people had citations. So please, if you're going to go down, and this is not my favorite time of year, by the way.
I can't see why it would be.
To be at Lake Powell. When it's 100 here, it's probably 115 down there, and there's nowhere to hide except in the backs of those canyons. But if you're going to go down, man, just be careful not to spread it.
With the water going up now, I talk to people when they bring their phones back. They're 6 to 8 inches a night, you know.
Yeah.
They lose more and more beach. You have to keep moving your boat.
Well, and here's what's happening. As the water comes up, all those mussels that were attached to the canyon walls,
they move up.
They then get flush back into the water, and they're floating around. And so as you make your way through, they're being ingested into the
They've been hooked to the canyon walls.
Yeah.
Above the waterline?
Yeah.
Why would they be up above the waterline?
Well, because they made it there when the water was up.
I understand that. But don't they die when they're
You would hope. You talk about the drying time, and with the heat down there, you would hope that they're dead.
They'd be toasted.
But they're still being ingested into those water ballasts on your, or the water cooling system on your intake.
Well, you know, it'd be nice if pigeons ate quagga mussels. that be nice?
We need another rescue from the seagulls. Yeah, we sort of have a history of that here.
We could call in the seagulls.
They took care of all of the locusts. Now we need them to take care of the quagga. Anyway, Fish Bites, remember to go to the Division of Wildlife Resources website. That's wildlife.utah.gov. Speaking of that, we're going to check in with the DWR on the other side of this ABC News update and checking in with Dan Bomas and give you some important dates coming up this week if you want to hunt big game in Utah. Starting the morning off very warm, by the way, at 7 o'clock. It's already 80 downtown. Thanks for waking up with us.
Live breaking news now on the mobile app for KSL News Radio. Listen at home or anywhere you go. Brought to you by Any Hour Services. KSL FM Midvale. KSL Salt Lake City. KSL News Radio. This is Utah's news station.